Well, we just heard some of the most beautiful words in all the sacred scriptures, as we heard in the first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, this is something that took place over 2,000 years ago. And Jeremiah was this young, very young man that God had called to be his prophet, to go before kings and princes and people of the world to bring this good news and to bring them back into their faith. But Jeremiah also knew his history. He also knew that the fact that if he were to go do that, many of the prophets that before him were persecuted, killed, because they were bringing this good news to the people that didn't always jive with the way they were living their lives, didn't always go in accordance with their way of living, their way of thinking. And that was what God was always doing. He was always calling prophets, men and women, to go out there and bring people back to the faith. Bring the fold back. And he continues to do that today. Continues to do that today with many of the priests and many of the sisters and many of the people. And all Christians are called to do what Jeremiah was doing. And yet, what God wanted to do with Jeremiah, he wanted to give him the confidence that he will be with him at all times. And so God at that time gives him this prophecy. And he says to Jeremiah to give him this consolation, these beautiful words: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you." What I like to do is I like to read that again. Just that passage, and I'm going to read it slower. And after each "you," I'm going to pause. And I want you to put your own name there. Because these scripture passages aren't just meant for over 2,000 years ago. It wasn't just meant for Jeremiah. These scripture passages are meant for each and every one of us. As last week we heard from Luke, when he said, when Luke is writing the gospel, and he says Theophilus. Theophilus means lovers of God, and it means each and every one of us. So the gospels are written for us. This passage was written for each and every one of us. So take a moment and put your own name after the "you." "Before I formed you, in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you." Isn't that beautiful? Because God created us in his image and his likeness. And the fact that God created you and me, created each and every one of us in his image and likeness, that's the human dignity that we all have. Every human being has that human dignity. We are all created for a special reason and purpose in this life. None of us are created as an accident. I just have to get that through people's minds, that we're never, ever created as an accident. We were never born by chance. But it was God who willed and wanted us to be born at this moment, at this time. And so our whole life journey is to find out, what is the mission that God has for us? What is he calling us to do? Because we all, as Christians, as baptized Christians, have a mission, a purpose in this life to fulfill. And the thing is that we also have to be out there to be the strong voice of God, strong voice of our Catholic faith in this world that's a very secular world, and a world that really takes God out of the picture and keeps trying to take more and more God out of the picture, more and more and more. Think about this. Did you know that the two Harborough brothers, John and Jim, sorry, I'm not trying to bring the football thing into this, but I'm saying this. Do you know that they're both Catholics and they're practicing Catholics? You probably didn't know that because the newspaper, the Mercury News, will leave that detail out. The ABC, NBC, all those other news, they'll leave that out. Why? Because they don't want to promote the Catholic faith in any way in a positive light. They will not want to promote that. So when we look at this here, is we are Catholics and we're called to a special mission. We cannot be afraid to say and let people know that we are Catholic, that we hold firm to these moral values that we have. Last week, we just had the Walk for Life. And the beauty of having that Walk for Life, of There's over 500,000 that walked in D.C. We had over 50,000 here in San Francisco of people out there showing the world that we as Catholics will hold up to the dignity of the human person. If it was not for the Catholic Church, the dignity of the human person today would be destroyed, worse than you think that it is right now. And we as Catholics need to hold up to that dignity. So God created us in his image and his likeness. And let's not forget that. And then as we go on and look at the second part, the second reading from St. Paul, he talks about love. And when we hear about that beautiful reading from St. Paul, and this is the reading that when I do marriage preps, a lot of the couples, that's what they pick. They always pick this one from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's that same, that's that beautiful reading about what love is and what love is not. And a lot of these couples really love hearing that and reading that. And that's one of the things that I will tell these couples. I want you to frame this up on the wall and put those in big words. And I want put them big letters on the wall there. And I want you to do this as an examination of conscience every night before you go to bed. You and your husband and your wife, to see what level of love are you actually living? Are you living to this higher level of love? When I'm talking about levels of love, I'm not talking about this feel-good love. Because it's not, love is not always feeling good. And then if it doesn't feel good, it's not love. If I just don't feel like doing this here, it's not if you feel like it, love. No, love is something that we do off of conviction. Love is a verb. Love is an action. And so this love that we have is something that we do for the other person. It's a selfless love. And I would tell you one of these, I'll give you two examples of this love, which there are many, many more of these examples of love. It's a love of a mother for her child, especially when that child is sick. You know, the mother will be there till, you know, day and night, looking over their child, their son or their daughter, feeding them, trying to make them as comfortable as possible, trying to help them recover from the sickness. Now, do you think the mother is going, boy, I love doing this. I'm waking up super early in the morning, I'm making them breakfast, I'm making them soup, I'm making them lunch. It's not something that it's off of feeling, because the mother's losing a lot of sleep. It's something she does out of love for that child. And so it's a selfless love. And then another example would be a soldier that's out there fighting for the freedom of his country because of his love for his family, because he wants to make sure that his family will be free and will not be oppressed by a dictator or whatever you want to say, or by another country. And yet this soldier will go out there and put his life in danger of battle for the love of his country, for the love of his family. But it's not something that he's going to say, I feel good about this. And then the greatest love of all is Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the greatest act of love, where he lays down his life for his friends out of love, so that we could have eternal life for him. Now, obviously, Jesus Christ didn't say, boy, this feels great being nailed to the cross. It wasn't a feeling. It was an act. It was an act of love for others. It's called that sacrificial love. And so St. Paul in the second reading really speaks loud. And he says about this here, what love is. And he says, love is patient, love is kind. And then he says what love is not. It is not jealous, it is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered, it does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So let's take a moment and reflect on that. And if you can go home, open your Bible, take that out, or go online. And really, I think every husband and wife should read this. I think every person, even if you're not married, should take this and really look at this. Look at how is my relationship with other people? How do I love other people? How do I match up to this litmus test of what love is? How do I love God? And that's something that's important. And John Paul II says here in his encyclical, we cannot live without love. We remain a being that is incomprehensible for oneself. Our life becomes senseless if love is not revealed to us. If we do not encounter love, if we do not experience it and make it our own, if we do not participate intimately in this love of God. So this love is something that's great, and we need to always go to the source of that all of all love, and that's God himself. And as I continue on with this here, I just want to, I'm going to have a quotation from Mary, from Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. But I want to just give you a little more, something to help what we could do to grow in this love. How can we grow in this love, which is the grace of God in our everyday lives? And so this love needs to be nourished within us. And when I talk about love and grace of God, I call them the same things. Because God's love is always something that's out there infinitely. He loves us so much that he can't love us more than he already does. It's how do we reciprocate that love back to him. And so let's take a moment and see how we can help this love, not only nurture this love, but help it mature within us. And I'm going to use the thing about how you work in a garden. So we water this love every day by healthy, heartfelt prayer with God, taking time out every day to just give God at least 15 minutes minimum of time of prayer with him, be it in the car, you turn off that radio as you're driving and you're stuck in traffic. You just go ahead and have that heart-to-heart conversation with God. You can do it there. But better places if you have time to come into a church or a place of silence. We feed this love with the fertilizer and sunlight of the source of all love, the Eucharist. As today we're going to be receiving Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And we keep pulling up the weeds that try to stifle this love within us by going to frequent confession, which is that healing sacrament, and reprune it and support this love with concrete acts of self-denial and service to others, especially when we don't feel like it. So when we start feeling hostility or we start feeling this lack of love within us, look at those three things, those four things that I just talked about in your life, and see if you're watering this with a healthy, heartfelt prayer every day, if you're really taking the Eucharist, not taking Christ for granted in the Eucharist, but really believing and truly understanding that you're receiving God made flesh within you. And also, frequent confessions. And I'm going to end with this quote from Mother Teresa, as she said, "I have found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, then there is no hurt, but only more love." So let's take a moment and reflect on that in our lives that we receive Jesus in the Eucharist and ask Jesus for this great gift of love.